Hello and welcome to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research, papers, and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, New York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. Hey everyone, hope all is well. If you haven't heard, I just wanted to mention, aside from purchasing our app, which helps support the show, there is a new alternative, Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a streaming way to listen to the show and thousands of others. It even will create a personalized stream of awesome content for you. If you go to the website, wcypodcast.com, and click on the Stitcher Radio link at the top and enter the promo code WhenceCameYou with no spaces. Registration is always free. But when you enter that code, they donate a dollar to the show. So you get the show for free, streaming, and also you're entered into a drawing to win $100 cash from Stitcher Smart Radio. So check that out. I should mention the main difference with the Stitcher application and the app is that with our show app, you actually get access to bonus content, which is exclusive to the app users. Stitcher is available on all mobile devices, and the Whence Came You app is available on the Apple App Store and the Android Marketplace. If you have a minute, also check out the great forum a friend and brother of Pocono Pens helped put together, and it's called the Trestle Board. It's a forum for Masons. You can find it at www.trestleboard.us. The first piece I have for you is a discussion I touched on last week. Freemasonry has infiltrated a video game. I am sure you all have heard of World of Warcraft. It's immensely popular. But if you haven't, it's basically a massive multiplayer online game. Just about every person you see as a character in the game is an avatar for a real person. You can talk with these people over Skype and things like Ventrilo. It is so entrancing and all-encompassing that there are meetings held between real people in this fantasy world that have nothing to do with the game at all. People get married in real life through avatar personas and all other manner of things. I was curious, are there virtual lodges of Freemasons that meet in the game? Are they goblins and humans attending such meetings under a tavern roof in a shire? Yes, there are. In fact, recently I found out there is even a weapon called the Gavel of Unearthed Science, which is a giant hammer with a past master's emblem on it. Also, there is an item called the Mason's Fraternity Ring. There are multiple threads out there which are asking where they can find Masonic guilds, and it looks like there are a few. So, if you're on World of Warcraft, try to find one. I used to play some years ago. I played for about 6 months, but then I got way too busy. My account that you could look up was called The Widow's Son. Do you guys know of any other Masonic references or uses in video games? Drop us a comment on Facebook, Twitter, the blog, or email us. Next, I wanted to touch on something really, really cool. I came across this postcard for the 1964-1965 World Fair in New York City. They built this enormous Masonic Brotherhood Center and had this awesome square and compass statue. Here is a few little snips from the web about the building, the World Fair that year, and what happened to those big square and compasses. The 1964-1965 New York World's Fair was the third major World's Fair to be held in New York City. Hailing itself as a universal and international exposition, the fair's theme was peace through understanding, dedicated to man's achievement on the shrinking globe in an expanding universe. The fair is best remembered as a showcase of the mid-20th century American culture and technology. The nascent space age with a vista of promise was well represented. More than 51 million people attended the fair, less than the hoped-for 70 million. It remains a touchstone for New York area baby boomers who visited the optimistic fair as children before the turbulent years of the Vietnam War, cultural changes, and increasing struggles for civil rights. Lots of folks have memories of the 1964-65 World's Fair, held in the borough of Queens in New York City and recognized by fair's memorable icon, the Unisphere. There were lots of popular pavilions and attractions at the fair, ranging from the memorable like General Electric's Progress Land, developed by Walt Disney and later transplanted to the Disneyland as the Carousel of Progress, to the perhaps less than remarkable AARP's Dynamic Maturity Pavilion. But did you know that there was also a Masonic Pavilion at the 1964-65 World's Fair? The theme of the fair was peace through understanding, and so it seems a natural fit that the Grand Lodge of New York decided to sponsor the Masonic Brotherhood Center with its theme of Brotherhood, the foundation of world peace. Outside the pavilion featured a 50-foot-tall and very space-age square and compass. Inside the building, items on display included the Bible that George Washington used when he first took the presidential oath of office, as well as Simon Bolivar's 32nd-degree Scottish Rite apron and his 32nd-degree Scottish Rite collar. If you go to Flushing Meadows Corona Park in Queens today, you can still see the Unisphere as well as the Tent of Tomorrow. But you won't find too much of the 64-65 World's Fair beyond that. Certainly not those huge square and compasses. Although, I'm happy to report that our colleagues over at the Livingston Library at the Grand Lodge of New York inform us that those great space-age square and compasses still survive. Visitors would pass under an arch and across bridge to enter the Masonic Center, operated by the Free and Accepted Masons, only fraternity exhibiting at the fair. It outlines the story of Masonry, its theme Brotherhood, the foundation of world peace. The New York City World Fair of 1964's pamphlet read, Masonic Center, the Masonic Brotherhood Center is a display case of Masonic history and memorabilia going back to the medieval times. The center is sponsored by the Grand Lodge of the State of New York. It includes a hall for exhibitions, a lounge, office, and outside patio. Admission is free. Highlights including Foremost American Mason. Dominating the hall is an 11-foot statue in Masonic regalia of George Washington, first of 14 American presidents who have belonged to the Brotherhood. Events from his life are portrayed in three-dimensional scenes, and the Bible on which he took the oath of office as president is on display. Since the Middle Ages, documents on view date back to the 14th century when the Masons were the cathedral builders of Europe. Among them is a plan of union for the colonies written by Mason Benjamin Franklin in 1754. The 1965 pamphlet read as follows. Masonic Center documents and other memorabilia illustrate the history of the Masonic Brotherhood. Sponsored by the Grand Lodge of the State of New York, the center includes an exhibition hall, a lounge, and a patio. The Washington exhibit, a statue of the first president in Masonic regalia, dominates the hall. His life is portrayed in three-dimensional scenes and an inaugural Bible. His farewell address and his Masonic apron are displayed. Rare documents. Mason Benjamin Franklin, 1754, Plan of Union for the Colonies is one of the documents on exhibit. Others date as far back as the 14th century. Admission free. The illuminated G from the large fiberglass square and compasses that stood in front of the Masonic Brotherhood Center was moved to the New York Masonic Home campus in Utica, New York, and installed into a similar, smaller sculpture. The Grand Lodge of New York installed a bronze sculpture by artist Donald DeLue of George Washington in Masonic regalia at the fairgrounds after it closed. It still stands near the soccer fields. DeLue also sculpted the fair's iconic rocket thrower sculpture. The information provided here was from Wikipedia and the Masonic Heritage Foundation. Now, the bonus features on this episode is going to be a few of the only known photos to exist in a video format, as well as a PDF download of the original book that showcases the building and construction of the Brotherhood Center. It's a direct scan of the original pamphlet. It's really cool. And that will only be available to podcast Fox app users and Android users.
Freemason conspiracies.
This is from TrueTV.com. 12 conspiracy theories. Perhaps the world's most secretive group, the Freemasons, wear archaic accessories, flash mysterious hand signals, perform secret initiation rituals, and build imposing buildings the publics can't enter. Throw in the fact that 14 U.S. presidents have been members, and it is no wonder people have been alternately curious and suspicious of the Brotherhood. The Masons have been rife with conspiracy theories since the modern beginnings in London in 1717. The Freemasons deny all spurious allegations and say that the craft's only conspiracy is working together to become better men and improve society through service and philanthropy. But no matter how often Masons insist, only a small part of what they do is under wraps. The scent of secrecy breeds rumors. Number 12. They control the world. The most common conspiracy theory about Freemasons has been woven into American pop culture, from recurring references in The Simpsons to Dan Brown's book The Lost Symbol. It boils down to this: the Freemasons are behind everything. Their cryptic handshakes, closed-door lodge meetings, and hush-hush rituals have to be on the down-low because they secretly rule the world. Conspiracy theorists are a little fuzzy on the details about how this is possible, but they are quick to blame that on Masons. Secretive nature. The Masons, of course, deny the takeover plot. Number 11. It's a Zionist front. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion is anti-Semitic fiction first circulated by Russians in France in the early 1900s. The infamous tract claimed to be the actual minutes of a sinister meeting of Jewish leaders seeking to control mankind. Freemasonry, which was already under suspicion at the time, was implicated as a front organization for the elders and their dastardly plot. Though exposed as a fraud, the protocols have exhibited disturbing staying power. Hitler outlawed Freemasonry because of these protocols, which are still circulated today by anti-Semitic groups. Number 10. They have assassins. According to some conspiracy theorists on the internet, Freemasons have played a part in a diverse group of deaths that include John F. Kennedy, Princess Diana, Abraham Lincoln, John Lennon, and Pope John Paul I. Of course, there is no real proof of this, and no known Freemason was charged in any of those deaths. Number 9. Our taxes fund their world takeover. Ed and Elaine Brown were brought up on charges of federal tax evasion after claiming, among other things, that the tax system supported a Freemason plot to take over America. Their refusal to appear in court sparked an epic standoff with U.S. Marshals at their home in New Hampshire. After the Browns were peacefully arrested on October 4, 2007, a stockpile of guns and homemade explosives was discovered in their home. The pair were found guilty of all charges and are serving 35 years in prison. During his sentencing, Ed Brown blamed the world's problems on the Zionists, the Freemasons, the Moose Lodge, and other groups. Number 8. The Illuminati Link. Adam Weishaupt founded the Order of the Illuminati in Bavaria in 1776 to spread the ideas of the Enlightenment. Weishaupt used Masonic meetings for recruitment to help drum up membership and used the Masons as a model for his secret society. Whispers began that the two groups were colluding together, possibly for world domination purposes. The group allegedly shut down in 1830, but conspiracy theorists claim this was a misdirection. They say the Illuminati, working with the Freemasons, actually evolved into the world's power brokers. Number 7. Freemasonry is a religion. The spiritual elements of Masonic ritual have led some to call the craft an organized religion, but Freemasons say this isn't so. Members are required to declare their belief in a supreme being which Masons call the Great Architect of the Universe. But a member's religious affiliation has no bearing on membership. Number 6. They were Knights of the Round Table. This Masonic origin story was born in France in 1737 when Chevalier Ramsay claimed Freemasons were originally Knights of the Crusades. The theory became a legend despite a lack of historical proof. For centuries, the Knights Templar was the richest and most powerful organization in Europe and the Middle East. But after the Crusades, the Templars' powers began to wane. France's King Philip IV, who had gone into debt with the Templars, accused them of devil worship, spitting on the cross, and homosexual acts. After several Templars were tortured and burned at the stake, the remaining Templars, some historians believe, went underground to reemerge in Masonic temples. Number 5. They're a satanic cult. The mistaken belief that Masons worship the devil began with the historic French hoax carried out by Gabriel Jogan Pages to embarrass the Catholic Church in the late 1800s. Pages faked a religious conversion and gained church approval for writing anti-Masonic fiction under the pseudonym Leo Taxel. He wrote about secret Masonic sect that worshipped the Satan figure of Baphomet. He also published the Diaries of Diane Vaughan, an American Freemason who purportedly cavorted with devils. Pages later confessed to his fraud. Number 4. The Unsolved Mystery of William Morgan. The disgruntled former Mason publicly vowed to write a tell-all book exposing Masonic secrets but disappeared before he could publish it. Soon after word got out about Morgan's project, he was arrested on trumped-up charges and jailed. Four known Masons were waiting for him when he was bailed out. Witnesses saw them wrestle Morgan into a carriage and speed off. He was never seen again. The kidnappers were tried but received only light sentences. The case deepened suspicions of the Brotherhoods across the country and led to the creation of the Anti-Masonic Party, the United States' first third party. Number 3. They plant clues everywhere. Not all Masons favor this secrecy. Some put compasses and square bumper magnets on their cars, flashed Masonic bling, and built the George Washington Masonic National Memorial in D.C. But Masons say they can't take credit for the many occultist clues that conspiracy theorists and the National Treasure movies say they hide in plain sight. The most common claim is that Masons put the all-seeing eye on the $1 bill. However, the all-seeing eye was a common symbol that predated the Masons and was already on the Great Seal of the United States. Number 2. Jack the Ripper was a Freemason. The famous Whitechapel serial killings of London prostitutes remain the greatest unsolved murder. But since the three-year killing spree ended in 1891, they have been linked to the Freemasons in history, books, and pop culture. Historians occasionally mention the crimes involving Masonic symbols and rituals that they occurred near significant Masonic sites. The official account by the Metropolitan Police in London makes no mention of a Freemason link, or any of the prime suspects being a Freemason. Number 1. They are above the law. Many say equal justice under the law doesn't apply to Freemasons because the judicial system itself is teeming with Mason employees. Anti-Mason watchdog Bill Schnobelen claims that a Freemason who commits a crime will get out of jail free simply by displaying a subtle hand sign to the judge in the courtroom. Schnobelen also claims to be a former Freemason, a former Druidic high priest, a former Mormon, and a former Satanist. In 1998, legislation in England began requiring judges to reveal Masonic membership. But it was repealed in 2009 after a judicial review found no corruption stemming from membership. So there you have it, a whole bunch of crazy for the week. Alright, this week's famous Freemason is Jack the Ripper. Just kidding. Actually, this week's famous Freemason is Avery Brundage. Born September 28, 1887, died May 8, 1975. Founder and president of the Avery Brundage Company, Avery Brundage was an active businessman in real estate, manufacturing, and the hotel industry. Representing the United States at the Games of the Olympics Stockholm in 1912 and the decathlon, Brundage was also a USA all-around amateur champion in 1914, 1916, and 1918. An active supporter of amateur sports, Brundage was president of the United States of Olympic Association and Committee from 1929 to 1933, vice president of the International Olympics Committee from 1945 to 1952, president of the Pan American Games Sporting Committee from 1940 to 1951, and president of the International Olympic Committee from 1952 to 1972. Brundage was described by Red Smith of the New York Herald Tribune as the official target of abuse in every Olympic year since the invention of the discus. His work with the Olympics has been termed controversial and domineering. In 1959, he donated the Avery Brundage collection of Asiatic art to the people of San Francisco. Initiated March 7, 1911, passed to the degree of fellowcraft on April 11, 1911, and raised on May 2, 1911, North Shore Lodge number 937, Chicago, Illinois. Information provided by the Grand Lodge of British Columbia and Yukon. That's it for this week. Remember to find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter. You can listen to the show on Stitcher Smart Radio, streaming anytime. Use the promo code WhenceCameU, no spaces, so that they know why you're on Stitcher Radio. Alternatively, if you want a little more, then try out our Android or Apple app, which gives you access to the show streaming, but also bonus features like exclusive content, papers, videos, pictures, and Masonic wallpapers for your mobile device. Check out the website for links to all that and a whole lot more at wcypodcast.com. Take care, everybody, and have a safe week. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.